Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Stonic. You're closer than you think to a 202 Stonic with flexible finance plans from your local Kia dealer.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're all very welcome to Liveline. Katie Hannan with you until 3 o'clock. Lisa McDonnell, I want to go to you first. Lisa, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
Hi.
Very well, Lisa. And how are you? You've been in the UK. It was an essential trip, and you're now in quarantine.
That's correct. So I suppose our daughter is over in the UK and has been for the last year and a half. So we're going to visit her back and forth, and it's necessary that we visit her. So we have a doctor's letter so that we can travel for essential travel. And I suppose we didn't get to see her at all over the 3 months when the lockdown was here in Ireland. So we visited her in June. Then we visited her again last week. And I suppose there was just a big difference between the two times that we visited. And I suppose just feels like it's not essential travel anymore. You know, there was a lot of families travelling. You know, we weren't asked once for the letter that we have from our doctor to state that we're travelling essentially. And we're self-quarantine. We're in day 8 now. We haven't had any call. We haven't, nothing's been checked.
You're 8 days since you came back, and you've been in quarantine for those 8 days. Mm-hmm. And nobody has called you?
No. Not one call, myself and my husband, not one call. Nothing.
And
you know, it's just worrying, I suppose.
Do they know about you, Lisa?
Oh, yeah, you have to fill out the form when you come in. So we flew to Shannon, and you have to fill out the form. We filled out the form, and it says that, you know, you have to be contactable by your phone. I have no missed calls on my phone. My husband hasn't either. So, I suppose it's just up to each individual whether they're going to quarantine or not, really. It just felt different this time versus the previous time. The previous time, you kind of knew by the passengers on the flight that it was essential travel, you know, whereas this time there was lots of families and you could tell they were going on their holidays. And then on the way back, there was probably about 10 to 12 people on the flight. Now, the flight was only about a third full, and those people were using Shannon as a connecting onto Malaga Airport. So they were, you know, having a kind of a stopover in Shannon. They didn't have to fill out the documentation, so they didn't have to self-isolate. So I suppose that's a worry as well.
I think a lot of people will be shocked to hear that you have had no contact from anybody in authority to check that you are where you said you would be in your form.
Yeah, nothing at all.
And take me back to that flight on the way back, Lisa. You say about a third full. Was there attempts at social distancing, in the cabin itself?
So really, the only difference between flying previous to COVID and flying now is that people are wearing a mask, and you have to put your light on if you need to go to the bathroom. They're still doing the drinks. When you're in the airport, it's like you're sitting in every second seat, 2 metres distancing. The minute the flight is called, everybody just stands up and just queuing as normal, back to back. And, you know, once you get on the flight, you know, the flight again, the allocation of seats, there is no, you know, myself and my husband were travelling together, but yet we were allocated seats in the middle beside other people, even though we could have quite safely sat beside each other. There was people just moving of their own accord because they were next to strangers and there was empty seats. And then once the flight stops and the doors are opened and people are disembarking, everybody's just standing up as previously. I'm sure you've witnessed that. Everybody's standing up, getting their suitcases out, and they're shoulder to shoulder on the aisle waiting for the doors to open.
Any announcements from cabin crew to, you know, keep your distance?
No. If you need to go to the bathroom, that you have to put your light on, that you're not allowed to go up and queue, but yet you're allowed to spill out into the aisle once the plane has stopped.
And you said that everyone was wearing a mask. Was that
that was
a requirement of getting on the flight?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
But did you then say that there was also bar service on the flight?
Yeah, there was a bar service on the flight too. You could get drinks.
So presumably if people ordered a drink or some food or a beverage of some kind.
They would take off their mask, yeah, that's true.
So that was also...
Yeah. So, you know, it just the fact as well, you know, as I said, we have that letter. The only time that we were asked for the letter, you know, was once, and that was for the hotel that we checked into. Our previous time that we were over in the UK, and we were never asked by any authorities for the letter of why we were travelling. You know, so there's no, I suppose, check-up if anybody's travelling, if it's essential or non-essential.
And you say that the profile, if I can put it that way, of the people who were on the flight over and back this time was, you know, markedly different from the previous time when you went to see your daughter.
Yeah.
Are you saying there's UK families coming in here from to holiday, or were they families on the outbound route going to the UK?
We noticed that going out, it was families, lots of families, you know, and even small children, you know, which I just thought.
And these are Irish families. These are not UK
Irish
families going home.
No. On the way back, it was a group. I don't know if it's the same group. But how we knew that they were coming from the UK and stopping over in Shannon is because when they went to fill out the forms, the passport control said, oh no, if you're going on somewhere else, you don't need to fill out the forms for the HSE. So there was about 10, one person was shouting back to the other saying, oh, you don't need to fill out the forms. Anybody that's going on to the Malaga flight doesn't need to fill out the forms. So, you know, it seems that Shannon is being used as, and if it's Shannon, we flew Dublin the previous time. I didn't notice it was Dublin, but, you know.
These would be people who would not be leaving the airport, presumably. They would be making a connection.
Yeah.
How did you feel personally on that flight and going through the airport and travelling this time compared to the last time? Were you personally nervous?
Not the same, really, because we were just making sure we had masks on the whole time, and we had hand sanitizers and not really touching off of anything. And, you know, for us, we literally are just getting onto a plane, hiring a car, driving to the hospital, visiting our daughter, staying in a hotel. You know, and the hotel has only essential people that are there for essential travel. It's not open at all. None of the restaurants, bar, nothing is open. So I suppose we're not really kind of like... You know, and we didn't get up onto the aisle and take out our luggage. We waited for everybody else to get off the flight. So, you know, we have a 12-year-old ourselves as well, and unfortunately she's been affected by this, because when we have to self-isolate for 14 days, she has to too, so she can't see friends or anything. So, you know,
it's easy to say, you know, self-isolate, go into quarantine for 2 weeks. It's a lot to ask of people, particularly if people are coming back and are, you know, have jobs to go to or have appointments to keep.
Yeah, well, we're lucky because we're both working from home. But for us, if we want to go and see our daughter again, if we wanted to see her next weekend, you know, in the space of like 7 weeks, we'll have, you know, or 8 weeks, we'll have spent 6 weeks in self-isolation, you know. So that's not fair on our daughter or the daughter, you know. So we don't know how we can get around that because we have to go to visit her.
But you're adamant that you also have to quarantine.
Yeah. You know, if the government says that, but then is everybody doing that or is it just a few people that are?
Okay, indeed, Lisa. Lisa, stay with us, will you? I want to go to Jim Emery, who's on the line. You, from Savannah in Georgia, Jim. Have I got that right?
Yes, that is right.
And Jim, you should be in Ireland right now, but you cancelled your trip to Ireland. Tell us why you did that.
Well, yes. About a year ago, my wife and I decided to spend an extended time in both the Republic and Northern Ireland. We rented a place in Belfast for the month of July and a home in Kinsale for the month of August. And, of course, this was all before COVID. But as things progressed, we realized it was going to be difficult to get there. So we checked with the booking agent and discovered that the people in Kinsale understood the situation. were very happy to refund all of our money, and that was a considerable amount. I think it was over $6,000. The apartment in Belfast cost me about $5,000. Of course, you send all this money up front when you make the arrangements. And for whatever reason, that person decided not to give us any money back. Sometimes they'll give you a credit to stay there at a later date. But so we're a bit disappointed in what happened. So we love how we were treated in Kinsale, but a little disappointed about what happened in our situation in Belfast.
And tell me, Jim, when you had all these arrangements made, you obviously would have been looking forward to it, and it was going to be, you know, something of a trip of a lifetime, two months north and south of the border. Did you agonize over making that cancellation?
Well, we were hoping. You know, when it first started, I thought, gee, by the time July rolls around, we'll be fine, and we'll be able to, you know, like we can get on a plane, we'll be able to get there. So we were optimistic that we could still do this, but obviously as it got closer and closer, and with the restrictions now and the quarantines, and basically things sort of shut down, we knew it just wasn't going to be able to happen.
Would you know other people who would have been in the same situation as yourself, Jim, would have had holidays booked that they've now cancelled, or do you know people who went ahead with their holidays?
Oh, sure. I mean, the booking agent that we went through does, you know, tons of these, and they told me that about 90% of the time that they have this problem, the owner will, you know, refund the money. But, you know, I did sign a contract, and in the small print, it says that, you know, I wasn't entitled to a refund. So legally, I guess the person in Belfast is correct, but to me it's not ethical. It's not principled, it's not morally right, it's not fitting, it's not fair.
Well, I suppose it's left a bad taste in your mouth because you feel like you're doing the right thing. You're heeding public health advice.
Well, yeah, I mean, we were in Ireland and Belfast about a year ago, and of course we love Ireland. We've been there five or six times. My wife and I honeymooned there, so we just love Ireland, and we really enjoyed Northern Ireland too, so we were sort of looking forward to a summer away from the hot heat and humidity here in Savannah.
And what is the COVID situation like in Savannah? Are there many cases there? Have you been badly hit?
Well, we're fortunate. Savannah is about 300,000 people, so a relatively small city, and warmer climate. I don't know if that helps or not, but the numbers clearly here are rising. Some of that might be just to the effect of more people being tested for it, but we're doing okay.
But as you say, you had hoped to be somewhere else right now, and that's not happening. Are you relieved you made that decision?
Oh yes, I mean there'd be nothing we could do right now. Just go there and quarantine yourself for 2 weeks in the apartment. Wouldn't it be exactly fun?
Yeah, because I don't know if you're aware of it, Jim, over there, but there's been a lot of media coverage over the last number of days of the number of American tourists that have been arriving in the country over the last week or so since travel has opened up a little. And a lot of people, you know, quite alarmed to some degree that people are coming in with, there is a direct flight from Dallas, Texas into Dublin Airport. And there is a sense that, you know, do we really want tourists from America for the first time ever? And should the Cead Míle Fáilte be turned off?
Well, yeah, it's a very difficult situation for sure.
Would you advise any friends or relatives over there to stay at home this summer?
Well, you know, I mean, some people have to travel for business reasons. We have a good friend, Peter Shannon, who was the conductor here for the Savannah Philharmonic, and he's also the conductor in Jackson, Tennessee, and he's now living back in Ireland, so he does come over here and back, you know, for business reasons. But yeah, I think it's best to still try to, I guess, stay put, and if you don't have to travel, try to, I guess, remain where you are. But some point, hopefully, we'll get a vaccine for this and we can get back to little bit of normalcy.
Indeed, and I'm sure you'll be very welcome back in Belfast and Dublin or elsewhere when that happens. That's Jim Emery there. Bernie O'Reilly, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Tracy. How are you?
Bernie, you're confused by what's happening with the tourists arriving here.
I'm actually confused more about all the what's on Facebook and lots of people's Twitter about the flights coming in from America. And some people are saying there's 1,000, there's a few hundred. No, there's only 16 people on the flight. And it's frustrating in the fact that last week when the pubs were crowded, the government came out and said, well, now you didn't do what you were told, so maybe we won't open the pubs next Monday. And Ireland has been very good during this pandemic. And I think, why is the government keeping so quiet on this?
Well, you think they should come out and say we don't want these flights arriving?
Well, they should come out and say something because people are confused, frustrated. I'm going to Galway on Saturday and Galway is a very attractive place for tourists, and America was not as good as we were at the beginning. And last week they were so quick to come out and blame young people. And what have these Americans do? I know some restaurant owner was on this morning and he refused the Americans into his restaurant because he had to look after his staff. Yeah. So I suppose I just want to know what is actually the truth. How many people are coming in? Coming from Dallas, where it's high percentage of COVID cases. So I don't know why the government is keeping so quiet on this.
Well, I suppose in fairness, our new Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, did tell the BBC at the weekend that it was too early for British visitors to come over. He made it clear that now, unless they had to travel, that they would not be particularly welcome here. But you think
and
he should go further?
Anything about the Americans? I actually didn't hear the BBC announcement, but I'm just wondering, did he say anything about the Americans? Or I suppose what restaurant owners and people are going to say, do we allow them in? What is the guideline for that? You have to look after their staff.
Yeah, I suppose that is an interesting one, actually. What are people advised to do if you are running a business, particularly, say, a small restaurant, say, on the Wild Atlantic Way? You might be likely to see American tourists coming to
Absolutely,
your door.
Absolutely, yeah.
What is the protocol? They're obviously allowed to come into the country. They're arriving here. There is this question about whether or not they're quarantined. But sure, we heard there from Lisa MacDonald
she's
been self-isolating and nobody's checked.
Yeah, yeah. So how do you keep a handle on tourists where they are? Because a lot of the Americans do tour around. So how do you keep a handle on that? I just think people are kind of wondering, OK, we've been very good, and why always come out and blame somebody for... In fact, if all the pubs had opened last weekend, you wouldn't have the same gathering of people in only the places that served food. It would have been probably not people congregating as much if all the pubs had been open. But he was so quick to come out on that, saying that next week it's like we're bold children, so you're not getting your pubs open next Monday. I feel a bit frustrated about that because I'm a mature adult and I want to be treated like that.
Okay, stay with us, Bernie. I want to go to Siobhan. Good afternoon to you, Siobhan.
Hi.
Siobhan, what's your point?
Well, I've been here since the 4th of March because my partner lives in the UK. And as soon as I arrived, really, it was apparent that travelling was not an option. So I've stayed here since. You know, I've got somewhere to stay. That's fine. It's secure.
So, sorry, Siobhan, you hadn't intended to be here for this length of time?
No, I hadn't. I would usually go, well, my partner lives in the UK, he works there, so if I want to see him, that's how I see him. But I can't, you know, I don't feel it's appropriate to do that. It's not fair to risk his health and, you know, then I'd come back here, I'd have to quarantine. But I have noticed recently that, you know, tourist season has just kicked in just like it always does in West Cork. I was in Skibbereen, it was absolutely packed. Nobody's wearing masks.
I'm sure some people must have been wearing masks, though, were they, Siobhan?
Maybe. I would say maybe 10%, maybe, if you're lucky.
And are you talking about people, the tourists who are, you know, arriving in the town?
I'm talking about everybody. But I did notice people who had obviously English accents when I had to go and do some shopping, that weren't masked, that weren't distancing. They had a child with them that was picking stuff up and putting it down. And I thought, well, you know, when do they travel over? You know, do they live here? Are they tourists? I don't know, but...
Did you say anything, you know, Siobhan?
I didn't feel I could. I mean, I suppose you're on your own. And I was masked and I didn't, you know, I didn't want to start a fight, but at the same time, I just felt really uncomfortable.
And these were people with English accents?
Yeah. I mean, I realise that I have a bit of an English accent myself because I've spent a long time over there. But, you know, the whole world has turned up here and it's a little bit scary because they're not distancing and they're not wearing masks by and large.
OK, stay with us, Siobhan. I want to go to Gary. Gary Keenan, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Kitty. How you doing?
You've run into a few tourists yourself.
Yeah, in Bray yesterday. I was just sort of sitting on the wall there near the promenade, at the foothills of the at the foot of Bray Head, and some people passed there. I heard them talking. I said to myself, "Oh, it's an American accent," which was kind of unusual. And I just sort of followed my gaze, you know, after them, and a lady stopped to talk to them. And the lady eventually came down past me, and I said, "Were they Americans you were talking to?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Did you find anything about them?" She said, "Yeah, they just arrived on Friday." And she also added that I asked them, "You're not quarantining?" And they said they knew nothing about that. So I sent my wife, and she was on to her friend in Wexford, and her friend in Wexford also said this morning, "Yeah, there's Americans down there as well." So, yeah, there are multiple flights now clearly coming in, two or three flights perhaps early morning. That could be United, Delta or American Airlines. Those aircraft could probably carry a max of 250 to 300 people. Even as one of your earlier callers said, the proportion, the uptake of seats is maybe, I don't know, 50%. And with other flights coming in Shannon as well too, if that's the case, yeah, you could have, I don't know, maybe 1,000 Americans. It kind of reminds me of the cruise ship in Sydney a few months ago that disembarked 2,500 people, and many of those just proceeded to spread the virus nationwide before they got a handle on it. And the authorities in Sydney said, "Oh, that was a mistake." You know, well, I think we're looking at another mistake here. I'm not anti-American. I'm just pro-common sense. America has, what, 3.3 million infections, 60,000 plus a day. 135,000 deaths, no federal plan. You mean Texas as well as California and Florida and the southern states are pretty bad.
Well, I'll give you another statistics there because I just saw on Twitter before I came on air that the Houston Chronicle obituary section was 43 pages long today.
There you go.
So that's a fairly sobering statistic, if you ever heard it. But I mean, this is very reminiscent. The conversation we're having now about American tourists is very reminiscent of the conversation we had about Italian tourists back in February and March when this was, we were just getting to grips with what was going on here and what was coming down the tracks at us.
Yeah.
And a lot of criticism then that we weren't closing off flights. But we were told that, first of all, that we couldn't do it, and then that it wasn't feasible, and that, I mean, it obviously is a huge issue to shut down routes and shut down closed borders. It's not something that we would ever have done.
But it's either public health or it's the economy. It's the same sort of argument in the United States. Which way are we going to go, you know? If this is unchecked, we'll have a surge in 2 or 3 weeks, you know? That's a reasonable assumption to make, you know?
Our number is very low at the moment. It's still hovering around the one. Are we overreacting is what I'm wondering. Are we overreacting, Gary?
You raised this, no, I didn't. You said the R number is hovering around 1. Hovering around 1 is too high. It should be 0.5 or thereabouts. And secondly, I thought the EU had banned income, had put United States on a kind of a blacklist for incoming flights into the European Union. I don't know whether that's been initiated yet, but I mean, what are we to believe, you know? We've done our bit, I think, as a society since sort of March with regard to lockdown. And there's always going to be problems with rolling back on these restrictions. But at this stage, to be allowing flights in from a country with no federal plan and such high numbers of infections strikes me as being crazy.
Okay,
I'm not anti-American.
Okay, we get your point there. And I think Audrey Murphy will agree with you. Good afternoon to you, Audrey.
Hi, Casey. How are you?
Would you agree with what Gary was saying to us there?
Well, I would agree with Gary, absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't be anti-American either, but I am, you know, because I have been cocooning so long myself, and only 2 weeks ago did I ever go and do my first shop, wearing a mask, I might add, and went in with my list and was in and out of that shop in 25 minutes. And that was sheer fear.
And tell me now, in that shop, Audrey, were there many other people wearing masks?
Well, no, there wasn't. I suppose probably, now I was conscious of the mask on me and not touching it because I listened to Professor Luke O'Neill an awful lot and he says, don't touch your mask. So I was very conscious in moving the mask around kind of with my chin if it was going up near my eyes. But no, there weren't too many other people. I would probably say five I encountered wearing masks. And it's quite a large supermarket. Now, I have to say it was excellently done and, you know, I didn't have a problem with the supermarket at all. The only problem I do have with supermarkets is that they don't serve their customers quick enough. They don't open up all their tills if there's any kind of a queue. So that would be an issue with me. But the whole thing is I also look up the flights coming in from America and I think, why the hell did I cocoon for so long when the government, and I'm blaming the government 100% on this, that they should actually stop those flights. I mean, you can talk about the economy and everything else. I mean, if the hotels actually took a look at themselves and realised what they were charging to the Irish. I mean, I heard on, I think it was on Joe's programme, where one lady was going to Kelly's and it was like exorbitant rates. You know, just reduce the prices and let us stay at home and take our holidays at home. And we'd be quite willing to do that, I'm sure. But at the prices that they're charging, like, it's outrageous.
But go back to the issue of the flights arriving first, because you've got two issues going on there, and I can hear you are angry. I can hear it in your voice, Audrey. You're saying you locked yourself in for this length of time and did everything right, and you can't understand why these flights are allowed to come in.
I cannot for the life of me understand it. I'm in lockdown now, probably, or was in lockdown from the 14th of March. Up until 2 weeks ago, I did my first shop myself. Up to that, my children were doing it for me and putting it in. And they weren't even allowed into my house.
And how did you find that?
I didn't mind it at all. Look, it's something that you had to do. And I, you know, because of my age and the cocooning and all that, you know, it was something that you had to do. I wanted to be careful. I didn't want to get it. I didn't let my grandchildren in. I have a huge back garden. They went up the garden. I didn't go near them and they didn't come near me. So, like, I'm quite angry now that, you know, these people can come in off a flight. I'm not, you know, saying Americans. If anybody who comes in off a flight from a country where the cases are so high, they should be made quarantine for 2 weeks. If that's what the system says, 2 weeks, well, then do it.
How do you do that, though, I wonder? Audrey,
well, I mean,
you can't lock. Can you lock people up, like when they
no,
arrive?
No, I don't mean. But like, if you, I don't know how these people are being told when they come in on the plane. Are they told that they must be quarantined for 2 weeks? I think it should be before they arrive in a country that has a lockdown. They should be all told when booking that they have to come. They're coming into a country that has quarantine for 14 days.
Yeah, because we did hear there from was it Gary, one of our earlier callers there, telling us that The Americans that they had been interacting with appeared not to know, or at least claimed not to be aware that there was this quarantine requirement.
Well, I couldn't be 100% sure of did I hear somewhere where the American embassy was telling them, the Americans, that there was no quarantine in Ireland. Now, I'm not 100% sure on it.
I think we'd have to double check that now. We won't take your word for that one, Audrey, if you don't mind.
But,
that would
no,
be
no,
an extraordinary
okay.
situation. I'm sure
it
the American embassy
strange.
Would be very on top of what our arrangements are. But of course, it's not. You're told you should quarantine. It's not a law. You're not legally required to, as far as I'm aware, and maybe someone will correct me on that, but it's you're asked to quarantine rather than, you know, made a mandatory legal requirement.
And maybe
that might be part of the issue. Stay with us, Audrey, because I want to go to get a different perspective from Dermot Ryan. Dermot,
Hello.
Dermot, you're the owner of the Kinsale Heritage Walks.
that's right, yes.
So you are very dependent on this tourist market.
Oh, of course. I mean, it's just vanished this year, obviously. Like, there's no Americans. You know, like, all of the planned, the scheduled trips are all, the groups, all trans have been cancelled, hopefully next year. But, you know, there's nothing we can do about it. And I was just listening to you earlier there. It was nice to know that one of our people here refunded in full the money to that poor gentleman.
Yes,
who had
it was a consale. Yes, a very ethical consale rental company. And he was delighted with that. Are you getting any inquiries from American tourists now?
No, just cancellations. And again, they get refunds from me as well. Well, obviously, my charge is only €5. It's very small. But it's the thought. And I feel so sorry for people who had booked last year. You know, it was a trip of a lifetime for them. They're interested in Ireland, interested in Kinsale. And it's, you know, their savings have been made up. Maybe family. We get a lot of people, it's a kind of retirement present to themselves or a family present, and all of that is gone. So hopefully they'll come back next year.
And tell me, Dermot, what would you do if you did get an inquiry from, say, a bunch of Texans over for a trip?
Would they have Stetsons?
Well, whatever would they have? Would they have quarantined, I suppose, is the bigger question.
I would, of course. You see, I have done all the certification with Fault Ireland. That's a procedure you have to go through no matter who you meet. You know, you have your certificate. You do an online exam, actually, for this, but then you go through the procedures, sanitization and whatnot. You carry a little thing of that with you. You keep their distance and so on, and where they're staying. You have to keep a track. You keep a record of all the people that come, just in case there's any follow-up afterwards.
Was it an online course you did?
That's right.
And it tells you how to deal, basically, with COVID-related issues.
That's right. You know, like, it's a lot, it's common sense. But, I mean, again, it's just to see it in a procedure that you follow.
So all people in the business that you're in are told that you have to inquire when they arrived in the country or if they've quarantined. What's the protocol?
Where are they from and where are they staying in that, like, you know, because I suppose most people don't come to Kinsale. They're, well, some from around the country, but a lot from Dublin, some from the north of Ireland and that. Galway, so they come from all over the place. You know, it's a nice place to come. It's small, it's safe and secure and that. And we had a very good arts festival on this past weekend, and that brought a lot of people as well.
Of course, it's a beautiful part of the country. I can attest to that, Dermot. But again, go back to my question, though. If you did get an inquiry from an American family, say, just arrived in on the flight from Dallas, would you turn them down?
No, I'd have to say I'm sorry, but there's a procedure that you have to follow. You know, there is 14 days. For instance, now my granddaughter, she came back from Greece there a few weeks ago, and she was quarantined for 14 days, self-isolation. And if you have to go through it, you have to go through it. But I don't think that many Americans will come with that risk. Maybe you might come for family reasons, but I can't see that many holidaymakers. You know, there have been an odd story or two on the radio and television, I think, about cyclists and the burden. But not around here.
But I suppose, Dermot, you know, and you'll know it from your end of things, there will be people who'll feel they can't say no to this business because it's the only bit of business they might see for the summer.
Well, it is, but you have to weigh up the risks. I mean, do you want to take the risk of something yourself or your family in that, you know, for the sake of a short-term gain? Like, for instance, now on the streets here, some of them are pedestrian, especially for this on Sundays. And then you have a lot of alfresco. The restaurants have their tables and chairs out. But again, they're all out in the open air. It takes the pressure off the inside rooms and that. And it's monitored very carefully. And that's the whole idea, safety first, you know?
Safety first, indeed. Dermot, we leave that there. Thank you there to Dermot Ryan. Thank you to Audrey Murphy and to all our other callers. Our text line is 51551. We'll have more after these.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.